Psalm 145 is a psalm of praise. What is it that we think of makes people worthy of praise? I mean, it could be a lot of things. I suppose later this summer we'll probably be praising athletes who distinguished themselves with incredible feats this summer in Paris at the Olympics. We praise the work of great musicians and great novelists, great entrepreneurs, great leaders, great politicians, if there are such things. People distinguish themselves. They earn our praise by showing something great about who they are or what they've done. We don't only just praise people. We praise lots of things, don't we? I mean, we praise a TV series that we enjoy, or a really delicious pavlova, a nice beach in Spain. We want to put up pictures about these things and show how much we appreciate them to everyone on Instagram or whatever it is. It's only natural to want to share, to want to praise the things that we love, the people. And that's true of our praise as well. It should be. It should be a natural thing. Sometimes we think of praising God more like it's some kind of like special duty that we must do as Christians. But I hope today that we can see together that praise really should be something that is naturally our response to God. Naturally, the overflow of hearts and minds that see even just a glimpse of his true greatness. The book of Psalms ends with a series of psalms dedicated to praising God. The last six psalms in the book of Psalms begin and end with calls to praise. Praise the Lord at the beginning, praise the Lord at the end of each of those psalms. It's a big emphasis throughout the whole book of Psalms. But today we'll look at the first of those last six, which is Psalm 145. A psalm that doesn't just call God's people to praise God. It also calls all people everywhere to praise him, and all of creation actually to praise our God. So let's take a look at this psalm, Psalm 145, a psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your work to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people will know of your mighty acts and your glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. A psalm of praise. David wants to call everyone to praise God, even all of creation. But notice that he doesn't start there. He starts with himself, calling himself to praise. And then he spends most of this psalm reminding himself and us of many of the wonderful reasons we have to praise God. But it's not just intellectual. He's not just telling us something. He's calling us to praise the Lord. So this morning we'll follow the path that David has marked out for us. We'll consider who praises God and why, and then we'll look more closely at how we praise God for who he is and for what he has done. So who is it that praises God and why? Well, David starts with himself in verses 1 and 2. He says, I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. David is not calling anyone else to do what he himself isn't doing. Every single day, every day, forever and ever is a lot of praise. There's no end to it. But David means this literally. The reason is for all of this praise he gives in verse 3. He says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. The reason David wants to praise the Lord constantly and forever is because the Lord is great and most worthy of praise. So out of all the things that we praise on earth and all the people, God is in a unique category that belongs to him alone. I mean, you think about it, every other thing or person that we praise is a thing or person that God has himself made. Every wonderful, praiseworthy reality in the world ultimately comes from him, is a reflection of him. He is the source of every good and perfect gift, as James says. Even the praiseworthy accomplishments of people come ultimately from him. He's the source of our strength. He's the source of our minds, our muscles, our creativity, our ability to show courage or love or anything else that is good and praiseworthy. We're made, body and soul and mind, in his image. Anything good is a reflection of him. This is one reason why nothing and nobody in the world can ever come close to being as worthy of praise as God is. It's impossible. Because everything else that we praise, everything else that is worthy of praise, finds its source in him. He's the one who is most worthy of praise. His greatness, no one can fathom. To fathom something means to really get to the bottom of it. To understand it fully, like people used to measure the depths of the ocean with a long line that would measure the fathoms of the ocean is a unit of measurement. But in this case, we can keep on reaching forever into God's greatness. We can keep letting that line over the edge of the boat on the ocean of God's greatness, and we can keep letting it out forever because we'll never come to the bottom. We'll never come to the end of the greatness of God. His greatness expands beyond any measuring tool we could ever use. He is more worthy of praise than we realize. He is greater than we can comprehend. So why does David praise God forever? Forever and ever, every day, he says, without ever coming to an end. Because God's greatness goes on forever and ever, and it never comes to an end. There will always be more reasons to stand in awe of God. There will always be new reasons to praise him. The more we discover about God, the more we'll have to praise him for. And we can keep discovering more of his greatness, more of his love and his justice and his power and his goodness forever. No one can fathom. But we don't just do that ourselves. We can bring others along with us. Because the more of God's greatness we discover, the more we will naturally overflow with praise and long for others to see the greatness of what we have discovered in God. I mean, don't we love to share anything wonderful that we discover with others? And God is the most wonderful reality of all. That's what David is doing here in this psalm. He's exploring the greatness and goodness of God, but he's bringing us along with him. And he's not the only one, he says. He says in verse 4, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. So here we see one generation of God's people telling the next, what God has done. And why is that? Because the new generation wasn't there to experience themselves firsthand all of God's wonderful works. They didn't see those works themselves, so they need to hear from us what God has done. Every generation has the ability, every generation has the privilege of doing this. Each of us, all of us together, we can pass on to those younger than us what we have seen of God's greatness, what we have experienced of God's goodness. We can tell them our own experiences of how God has worked in our lives. And we should tell them, but we can do more than that as well. We can also pass on to those behind us what has been passed on to us by those before us. Because many, many generations have lived on this earth. And God has been at work in each one of those generations. So much is recorded for us in history of the ways that God has worked. In his word, but in history as well. But even in just in God's word, we see so many stories of God's faithfulness. Recorded for us by people who were there. People who saw the Red Sea parted and God's people delivered from Egypt. People who saw God answer Elijah with fire from heaven. People who saw Jesus after he rose again. They've recorded God's greatness and the goodness of his actions for us in God's word. And we hold their stories in charge. And it is our privilege to share these incredible truths about God's character and what he has done throughout history with those who come after us. But notice this as well. It not only does David joins in with those who are sharing with the next generation. He says, I will proclaim your great deeds, not just one generation to another, but I will participate in this myself. But he also says something else. He said that in verse 6, I will proclaim your great deeds. But before he does this, in verse 5, he says, I will meditate on your wonderful works. So before he says, I will proclaim your great deeds, he says, I will meditate on them. David's praise is the overflow of his own thoughts and meditation on what God, who God is and what he's done. His focus in praise is not how great his praise is. His focus is on how great his God is. And that's important because sometimes I think we can come to church and put on a good praise face for others. But maybe people can come to church and do look the part and praise the Lord that way, but they haven't really thought about God over the whole week. And the words of praise that are said and sung can become more like a weekly kind of ritual than an everyday reality. If you want your praise to be real, if you want your praise of the Lord to be natural, then there's a really good way to do that. Focus your heart on God. Meditate on his wonderful works, like David did. Look at who he is. Look at what he has done. And then just let your heart respond to that. If you had the goal of wanting to make a chimney smoke, you might be able to find a way of doing that besides lighting a fire. I don't know. Sounds tricky. But actually, if you just tend the fire, the smoke will come naturally without you even having to think about it. If we develop our relationship with God, if we focus our eyes on him, then our praise will pour out naturally from us like the smoke pours out of the chimney, right? When there's a fire. Because here's the thing, there will be a fire in our hearts of love and devotion for God burning there. And that will overflow naturally. Like a fire pours out smoke, our hearts will pour out praise for God. That's why David says in verse 7, we don't just sing, we joyfully sing of your righteousness. We delight in praising God with celebrating your abundant goodness because our hearts are captivated by all that he is. If you want to grow in your ability to praise God well, the answer is not to take voice lessons or mimic enthusiastic movements and hold your hands a certain way or something like that. The answer is focus your heart on God. Meditate on his wonderful works. Soak your heart in his greatness. Soak your heart in his goodness of who he is and what he's done. The praise will pour out naturally. So let's look a little bit now at who he is and what he's done as presented to us in this psalm. Look who he is in verses 8 and 9. The psalm says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." Verse 8 is a quote from God of his own introduction of himself to Moses. But they're not just words. These characteristics that he's talking about have been displayed by God in his dealings with his people, with humanity, all through history. But most of all, they were displayed for us in the death and resurrection of Jesus himself. Because through the cross, God proved once and for all time, without any room for doubt, that he is gracious. He is compassionate. He is slow to anger and rich in love beyond all comprehension. So rather than just justly punishing us for our sin against him, rather than leaving us with the deadly consequences of our own betrayal and rebellion against him, God chose to take the consequences of our sin on himself, to die the death we deserved and rise again, creating a way for us to be fully forgiven and brought back to himself, brought back to eternal life and joy in his presence. But even for those who have not accepted Christ, even for those who do not experience his salvation that way, everyone experiences the goodness of the Lord in some ways. Verse 9 says, "He is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." Jesus said he causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. That's the good rain that makes the crops grow and feeds us. Every day that we eat is a gift from God. Every breath that we breathe is a gift from him. Every good pleasure, every joyful thing in life is from him, whether we thank him for those things or not. Every day we have on earth is a gift of his compassion and goodness. He does not owe that to us. He does not owe that to anyone. But he gives and gives. He gives days. He gives life. Even so often to people who misuse his gift, even when it is twisted towards selfish ends. Everyone on earth has every reason to praise God for his goodness. We all experience it every day. Even the bad things we face in this world that is cursed by our sin, even those bad things remind us that God has not poured out yet the fullness of his justice for sin. Yes, we are experiencing some of the consequences of sin, but not the full justice. He is patient. He's giving us the opportunity to be saved. And this is an expression of his goodness. He is patiently giving people the opportunity to come to Christ because he has compassion on all he has made. But we must come to Christ because he is also just. Because otherwise we will have to pay for our own sins. He is still the perfectly just and holy King over all things. And in the end, he will bring justice and he will set all that is wrong to right. And we can praise him for that as well. The psalm talks a good bit about God being the king over all things. Now, David himself was a king, but he doesn't say anything about his own position. He focuses this psalm on God being the king, on God's kingdom. Verse 13, David says, "God's kingdom is everlasting. His kingdom, his kingship endures through all generations." God is the king over everything for all time. And David makes it clear that his authority reaches far beyond any particular nation. God is king over every millimeter of his creation. He made it all. It all belongs to him. And how does he rule his kingdom? What does he do as king? He uses his authority. He uses his power for good. Let's consider some of the things that David tells us that God has done. David mentions God's works and acts and deeds a lot in this psalm. And it's no wonder, because God's works express his character. This is how we see, lived out, played out what God is, who he is. So what are these works? Verse 13, the Lord is trustworthy to his promises. He is faithful in everything he does. This is displayed in his action throughout history. He has promised so much. He has kept his promises. Verse 14, the Lord upholds all who fall and lifts those who are bowed down. Isn't this why Jesus came? He came down to us to lift us back up to God. Verse 15, God gives everyone their food at the proper time. Our very lives depend on his provision. Verse 16, he satisfies the desire of every living thing. It's not just us. All life on earth is sustained by his care. Verse 17, again we see God is faithful, but also adds he is righteous, displayed in his faithful, righteous acts. Verse 18, God is near to those who call on him. What a beautiful reality that is. That this all-powerful God, this King over all things, draws near to us when we cry out in our need. He's not put off by our needs. He draws us near to himself. This is an expression of his love, an expression of his compassion on all that he has made. In verse 19, he fulfills the desires of all who fear him and answers their cries and saves them. We come to him with our needs and he answers. He answers our cries and he saves us. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. Verse 20, the Lord watches over all who love him, but destroys the wicked. He is just. He does not ignore what is wrong. But he is also welcoming to all who come to him with our need, to all who come to him for salvation. So God's faithfulness, his provision, his good gifts, they all call us and everyone, everywhere, all of creation to praise him. He is ultimately and completely worthy of praise, the praise of every single person in the world. God gives his good gifts to everyone. Every day anyone is alive is a gift of God's grace. His invitation for salvation goes out to the whole world. Everyone can come to God the same way. For those who cry out for salvation, for those who put their trust in him, he showers absolutely ridiculous amounts of gifts on top of all the good things he gives everyone. He saves us. He watches over us. The God of the entire universe actively works for our good, promises himself to do that. He rescues us from our sin, from the punishment that it deserves. He gives us himself. He gives us himself, the source of all that is good and wonderful, and all his good gifts with it. And he gives us that forever. How do we respond to a God so great? A God who has done such marvelous things. We praise him. We praise him ourselves personally as we meditate on his greatness and goodness. As we meditate every day, we can respond in praise every day, forever and ever. As we soak our hearts in his word and see his work in our lives, we should praise him. And we can praise him together with his redeemed people, the body, the bride of Christ, as we've done this morning. As we learn together to follow him and trust him and see together his power and his goodness displayed among us, we can praise him to the next generation and so show them how wonderful and worthy of praise God is. We can joyfully sing of his righteousness. We can celebrate his salvation as we come closer to God, as we follow him in obedience. We will only find more and more reasons to praise him as we see his greatness, as we see his goodness displayed more and more in us and around us. Like David, we can praise him every day, forever, forever and ever, because we will never run out of reasons to praise our God. just want to close our service with going back to the psalm that Thomas was reading earlier, the beginning of Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. In all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your greatness, for your goodness that we have only seen a small part of. We thank you that no one can fathom how great you really are. But for the ways, Lord, that you have revealed your character to us, your goodness and your greatness, your power, your justice, your love. We thank you for your compassion on all that you have made. We thank you most of all for your salvation in Jesus Christ. And Lord, in all these things, we praise you. Amen. Our service is concluded, but you can stick around for tea and coffee. Thank you.